this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How we doing? What a day it was for Manchester United. 4-1 against the City Blues, sir. We lost.
Stop. Make it stop.
Sir, we lost to City earlier this year. In some ways, that was the bottom City to their... Dude, I'm going to give them a little respect on Pep's name. They didn't put us under the knife. They like had us. We had nothing. They did us a respect at Old Trafford. Today, we were given no such respect, sir. They were going for the throat in their beautiful stadium, their well-run footballing organization, as they like paraded around the Glazer morons that have been running this club into the ground. And that's where we're at the moment, sir. Is like we just got played off the park today. Could have been 7-1 if the best player on our team, David De Gea, didn't make at least three goal-saving, like, sir, bad day for United. Indictment on the club. Who's running it at the end of the day? The managers mean nothing. The players don't matter. It's about the Glazers. They have driven this great club off a cliff. And until we get them to know that, like, the fans are not effing around and they must go, it's going to be the same shit over and over again. Doesn't matter who the next manager is. How you feeling?
I got two takes. I got the glass half full. I got the glass half empty. I'll start with the full. Scouse Bastards might not win the league. That's all you got. That's all you got. So like if there was, usually when you lose to your big rival, there's no benefit. This time there might be a benefit. The glass half empty, horrid performance from United. It looked like the players gave up in the second half. This club is a ghost of its former self. I mean, I'd rather have, like you mentioned it during the game, Phil Jones out there fighting. Some people, De Gea knows what it means to play for this club. He was lights out. Could have been 7, could have been 8 without probably the world number one in net. And United are just that far off it. Like you mentioned, shitty world-class front office came out of Barcelona in their heyday. Obviously, Pep Guardiola, best manager in the game. The signings they make, spectacular. New stadium, new training facility, world-class training facility. Glazers, signings are, there's no plan. Old players making lots of money, not even playing. Cavani, Ronaldo, you know, who knows why they aren't anywhere near this team. Obviously, the rumors with Ronaldo, the midfield, we're still got McFred. No reinforcements. You look at who was in that box for Manchester United. You got Arnold. He sucked up to Ed Woodward to get the job. That's all you need to know about that numpty.
He's a moron.
Morata had two shots at Haaland, couldn't get him. We're really far off of it. Need a new stadium, need a new training facility. Probably need $1 billion into the squad. We got to just clear house. And that won't happen under the Glazers. Financials came out. Arnold said, oh, we got world-class organization top to bottom. operating profit down 90%. Net debt up 8%. Interest is compounding. The debt's going up. And they don't have the cash. So it's really about the ownership. You can slate Harry Maguire, awful today. Wan-Bissaka, horrid. Midfield, in shambles. But there is a yardstick that you can measure the difference between us and shitty and us and what probably a title is. And there's a lot more factors than just those players on the pitch. And yeah, the board deciding to bring in an interim manager when the locker room was already having issues, like we saw in the press before Ole was fired, and then they have a substitute teacher trying to sort it out. It's not going to work. And that's why they don't know what they're doing. Just look at them in the stands, sir. This great club. Rough season. Rough season for United. Let's hope we can get a good manager. Let's hope the ownership can change. But I think us fans need to band together and focus on what we can do to put pressures on the Glazers. Because until they're gone, look at those guys running this team.
So I'm not... today, something changed. Like the hope is what's been killing me. The hope is killing, sir. I love this team. I love this club. I love the history. I love many of the players I used to play for, and I love the fans, American Red Devil fans. But like, the hope kills you, bro. There's no reason to have hope as long as the Glazers are around, dude, because it's not going to get better. it could get worse. And I am hopeful that, like, if we miss the Champions League based on how poorly they mismanaged this club, just talking about, like, fiduciary duty to a incorporated a company, right? Like, they have to make sure that, like, it has enough cash to operate, that they're competing in all fronts. Sure, it's been so mismanaged that, like, if we miss out on the 100 million from the top four, which we're banking that they would. They're like, we got Ronaldo. We'll get, you know, they were banking on the 100 million coming in against her, and they're not going to get it because we're not making top four. Maybe their hand will be forced, but all I'm saying, that's my hope. My hope is all around getting the Glazers out, because it's not going to get better than this club unless they leave, because the best example is right next door, dude. It's in Manchester City. They invested so well. They've spent
same amount of money, but they put smart people in
that don't just make the same fucking mistakes over and over and over again. You have Harry Maguire that cost £80 million, and he's not worth £8 million. You should sell him because he is worthless when he plays that poorly, because he cannot wear the badge, bro. And it's fine. He just can't cut it as the captain of Manchester United. Just like Moise couldn't cut it as the coach of Manchester United, which is fine. He should go to a different club. But the same dude, Pogba, £90 million, leaving for free. It's just like this club. And then you see those idiots just sitting in the stand in that beautiful stadium, bro, that's not decaying. Murtaugh just like, huh. Richard Arnold looks like the biggest putz in the world. And that's why we're fucked. And we'll be fucked as long as they're running the show.
But they're all puppets at the end of the day, right? And, you know, it's they're just sitting there to do the bidding of the Glazers who are in Florida. And I'll tell you what, the minute that there were cameras following Avram Glazer around the streets of Tampa or wherever he lives, that is when the pressure was on. And we saw that result in the summer. We better give him some red meat. The fans are angry. The red meat is the trophies. The red meat is the plan. The red meat is a new stadium. The red meat is actual communication with the fan base. I think we kind of got duped by them a little bit. The pull out of the Super League. Oh, the letter from Joel Glazer. By the way, he ducked the next, like he came to one fan forum, then ducked the next one. They're not serious about owning this team, and we need to hold them to the highest standards. Manchester United, the biggest club in the world, should be held to the highest standards. And right now, we're barely West Ham at the end of the day. And by the way, they're managed by David Moyes, our old manager they fired. Ed Woodward made the mistake, fired him too early after one season. And Ed Woodward, guess who couldn't get Fabregas done? Ended up signing Mata in January. All these fumbles Ed Woodward made early in his career probably led to Moyes taking the blame. And that is kind of what we've seen. And Arnold is just going to make the same mistakes again and again. We've seen it. Look at this manager search. How could Manchester United not have the manager done? They're literally scrambling because they don't want to pay anyone to get a manager out of contract.
Right.
They paid £42 million to fire managers. You can easily pay $20 million to hire one. Get your man. Find out the best person for the job. The fact we don't know now, after Rangnick's been around, and the fact they're not even talking to Rangnick about who to hire, shows you how out of it this club is. And that is because they prioritize commercial over football. We've seen that so many times. Why is our technical director running training? Why does our technical director not have any experience? Why is our director of football like a made man from within who literally has nothing on his CV? Even Newcastle hired someone who had... We went through the CVs of the director of footballs of our competitors. And oh, by the way, Murtaugh is at the bottom of the list. And that's where Manchester United is. And we have the money to spend. Frustrations will continue. We always back this club, but it's time. This podcast has always been Glazers out, but it's time to crank up the heat because that's all we got. That's all we got. We've come to the end of this, and we really need to put the heat on the board.
You're right, because like I said, I think we've seen too much. We've seen too much, and we've seen enough to know that like this shit is not going to get better by me just cranking out the excuse factory every week. We had a lot of chances. Maybe we can play well. Sir, it's not going to change. It's been two fucking decades of this shit, and it's been a precipitous drop ever since 2009. We just talked about it on the Patreon pod. Join Patreon. We love the American Red Devils. Especially the Patreon members who go the extra mile, sir. But we're talking about it. It's like ever since 09, that final we lost in Rome against Barca, one of the best teams ever, sold Ronaldo, let Tevez leave to City, one of the clubs that's pushing us around at the moment. And the Glazers, they were getting crushed in 09 because all their investments in the U.S. went south and they took it out of Manchester United. We sold fucking Ronaldo for 80 million pounds and we spent 8 million that summer, dude. And it's been a steady drop ever since then. It got worse when Fergie retired with Gil right in 13. Then Ed Woodward's in charge. What do you do? We're appointing Moisey. We're going to fire him in 10 months. We're not going to get any signings done, right? And it's been more and more and more, and it's the same shit, and it's never going to change. It's never going to change. Murtaugh is not a director of football. He's not. I love Darren Fletcher. He was fun to watch, and I always rooted for him because he's exactly what kind of player Manchester United is, but he should not be our technical director. He's not qualified. And the Glazers are the worst owners in the Premier League, dude. And it used to be Newcastle, and unfortunately, they got bought by the Saudis, but they're actually being well run now. We have
I think morons it's safe to say Boneside FC has the worst owners.
I'm talking about the ability to run a football club.
No, I understand.
Chelsea's owners are worse.
Yes. I'm going to go, obviously, human rights. We're talking about Ukraine and Abramovich and Chelsea fans. It's horrible, the whole situation, but for us as United fans, let's just turn, crank up the heat. I think that's what we need to do as fans.
That's it.
That's the only option we have. And we need to demand more from them than overpriced signings. We need to demand trophies. We need to demand plans. We need to demand a new stadium. And let's raise that bar. Sir, hashtag Glazers out all day. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. You want to join our Discord community, it is absolute fire. Lots of biased fans from the couch giving their hot takes during this match. If you want to join it, it's a great chat application. Find more fans like yourself. There's an invite on our Twitter page. You just click on that link. You join our Discord community. It is awesome. And also, like Alex mentioned, join our Patreon. You want to go the extra mile, support the American Red Devils. Do so via Patreon. You can visit our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We do a behind-the-scenes episode each month where we let our hair down, give you behind the scenes of the American Red Devils podcast. We recap each month. We don't have any private sponsors here, so we just do it with direct fan support. If you want to support us, check out our Patreon page. Also, visit our website, our blog, great fan-generated content. Alex is editor-in-chief. Click on store. We have merch. I'm wearing the hoodie right now. We got scarves, stickers, pins, Glazers out scarves. Glazers out scars. We need to get more Glazers out merch ASAP. That is the move. We'll be going green and gold till the club is sold. Sir, tell me about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod or a review on whatever platform you listen to the American Devils, whether it be Spotify, Music Plus, whatever. Send a 5-star review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. And I, Alex from the pod, will send you some free merch, some stickers, some pins, pick, pack, and ship. That's John's favorite saying. And I'm sending it all around the world. And especially if you do an extra cheeky review like this one here from Bree Griff. So read it out or you want me to?
I would love for you to read this one.
Best Manchester United podcast. I've been a listener for a few months now, and I must say this is the best United podcast this side of the pond and all around. It's always the first podcast up after a match and is constant. I am curious as to why you guys call each other sir so much. Is there a backstory to it? Yes, there is. Or is it just your thing? Anyways, keep it up. Also, I think Ronaldo played great today and was part of our bright moments. I'm not sure why all the forum supporters are saying he was poor. Bree, thank you for such a great review. And thank you for all the American Red Devils who listen, who support us, who go the extra mile with Patreon. There's tough days being a Manchester United fan, but what keeps the heart beating is the fan.
Well, you didn't address the sir. You got to tell the story about the sir.
The sir is that, we got pretty personal on the latest Patreon pod about a little bit of our bios. John and I have known each other since high school. We play football together. And my dad used to do a boys trip to the Caribbean to visit one of his buddies from college that lived in the Caribbean, this character. And one of the trips, it was always the boys trip. I was one of five, middle kid, four boys, three girls. And then after the boys hit 13, they could go on dad's trip. And John came one year because one of my brothers was out. So I was like, who's up? Who's in next? We need three. And we had a great time. And when you see my dad with his buddy, they
said sir,
sir, sir, sir, sir. Yeah, yeah. They went to UVA. He graduated in UVA in 1969 before women were allowed in. And it was they were from the Northeast and they came down and it was all these good old boys. And I think it was just something that they did. They're like, sir, sir, sir.
So yeah,
sir,
we
sir,
looked
sir,
up
sir,
to,
sir. So we say a lot of sirs. That's why.
Yeah. We looked up to your dad and then they had a good time and they said sir a lot. So it just became a thing. We got it. So we were 18 at the time. Now we're much older, but it stuck. So that's where it comes from. Again, thank you for everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon. Drop a review. But let's get into it. Manchester City 4, Manchester United 1 at the Empty Had.
Wasn't empty today, dude.
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
Let's get into that lineup. I'm just saying, bro. This is going to be a hard one to get through. We're going to straight and narrow. Let's get through it. Dave Stays, world number one in net. Left back, Telles. Maguire, Lindelof, center back, pairing Wan-Bissaka on the right. Fred, McTominay, midfield, Fernandez in the hole. Pogba on the left, Sancho on the right. Elanga up top at number 9. Cavani not on the bench. Ronaldo not on the bench. Apparently he has a hip. Also COVID. Got Luke Shaw as well.
And Varane.
Damn. Light bench. This team. What'd you make of the lineup?
I mean, honestly, I wanted Cavani or Ronaldo to be somewhere involved. Mostly bench. Like, I could have seen him come off the bench. I show up at your house. There's drama around it. There always is. This damn club, and never escapes us. The real question mark was, like, I was really, really, really worried when I saw Maguire and Lindelof.
Yeah, no,
so
that's
that was my
away.
Concern. Yeah, yeah. And I was, yeah, it was a concern for a good reason.
I thought back three, yeah. Maguire, Lindelof, Ferran would have been solid.
Or Bailly, or Jones
also
even.
Not, no Shaw would have been. Back four, with that back four makes you nervous, I think, exactly. And you know what? Let's just get into it. It made me nervous, and it only took about 5 minutes. Let's go.
Boy, this move with Bernardo Silva in possession. Grealish back in the side, scored an excellent goal, and here's De Bruyne, and it's 1-0. Well, he's not annoyed now, Pep Guardiola.
All right, so Manchester United come out. They put 10 men behind the ball, and we're going to just defend for our lives, and we concede in 5 minutes. Horrific defending all around. Harry Maguire looks like he's frustrated, but he can only be frustrated with himself because literally nobody is trying to mark Kevin De Bruyne. What are we doing?
I mean, this was an indictment. This is basically how the game started, and the game would go. This was the fifth minute. Next 85 minutes went the same way. And you know what? The defending is Harry Maguire defending. And this is, it ain't his fault he was £80 million. That was Ed Woodward and the Glazer clown show deciding to pay £80 million for fucking slabhead.
I'm going to say,
we said 50. We said you pay 50 only. Yes, you never go more than fucking 50. He was not worth it. They paid over the odds because he was English. And he sucks.
No,
he was worthless today, dude. He was so bad. This first goal.
Let it out.
He was like, you could have, it would have been better to play with 10 men. It would have been better to play with Phil Jones. Because when he plays like this with no confidence, I know there's a good player in Harry Maguire, dude. I've seen him play for England. I saw him play for Leicester. He's a good player. But right now he has no confidence and he plays like a wimp noodle. And he is useless because he's just this big oaf, slow. Every time he gets beat, sorry, I'm just, I'm taking out Harry.
Harry Maguire's like he's beat on the ground. You keep hitting him.
Sir,
it's like you're really going
10
in.
Men, sir. They should have played with 10 men.
This is what this team does to you, sir. I'll tell you. This is
hope will kill you.
20 years of being a fan, this is where we're at. You know what? But we love it. It's fun. Got to have a laugh. Just horror to come out like and play like Burnley would against City is humiliating in one way. But to then not even be able to switch on for 5 minutes is in. Look at the payroll. Players on our team make more than Man City. We have higher wages. We've spent more net. It's crazy to see how these players can't get up for a game, and we've seen it over and over again. Just Atletico Madrid, another great example. And something, I'm going to point the fingers at the director's box because we have an interim manager. We had locker room issues. Our manager was fired, and we literally have a substitute teacher with no sway at all. He's like not talking to the board at all, and the players aren't taking him seriously. And that's how you get performances like this. But you know what? There was hope. It was end to end. 8th minute, Fred had a good chance, couldn't get it out from under his feet. 18th minute, Dave saves. You know, it was a rough start, but then the game kind of looked open. City did look like we could get at him.
First half, we were in it. I mean, we were in it because Dave kept us in it and because of some nice play in the 22nd minute.
But if he can lift his head, he can find Sancho here. This is very promising for United. Bruno Fernandes will go on the overlap. Sancho on his right foot. Oh, what a goal! The former Manchester City man comes back to haunt them at the Etihad.
Oh,
a clinical counter-attack. And Jadon Sancho kills in a beauty. What a derby we've got here.
What a goal from Jadon Sancho. And you know what? We played counter-attack. Pogba on the right. Great outlet ball to Sancho, who does great to finish it. Obviously, famously leaving shitty at 17, coming back, scoring a huge goal here. But if you're really honest with yourself as a United fan, you knew our defense couldn't hold. That was the problem. You look at that back line, how we concede easily. They were going to have more chances. De Gea made some saves, but we were there for the taking.
Hey, but you know what?
It's bad defending.
That was good play from United. That actually was like bing, bang, for one touch ball. That was
great from our attack, but eventually our
defense. No, of course. There was no confidence because, like I said, like your captain isn't instilling a lot of confidence. Nice pass from Pogba. Watching that game, sir, I don't think he ever like went faster than a jog the whole game, even in that, which is pretty impressive. It's like a great pass. Like I can't wait till he slow jogs out of this club. But a great goal from Sancho. I think that's the one positive. Is like we did pay £74 million for him.
Oh, he's a great player.
He's a player, dude. Yeah. He's a player, but that was a lot of jogging today.
28th minute.
Hand side Manchester City against Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Header inside is a good one. Foden could be in here. What a save by De Gea. The follow-up from Bernardo Silva. Surely from De Bruyne. 3rd time lucky for Manchester City, who swarmed towards David De Gea's goal.
You're like making it worse. The Arlo makes it so much worse.
No. Okay, let's just break it down. We're 1-1 in a derby. Wan-Bissaka has the ball as the right back. Literally can't clear it. Hits it into a City player, and then as soon as that turnover happens, Lindelof beat Foden. Great opportunity. Maguire nutmegs the ball to another City player.
That was Elanga.
Can't clear it. It's rough. Elanga. It was Elanga playing the right back spot. I don't know how he got there. But again, a bad mistake, and City punish you, and that's what they did. Clinical.
Bad mistake, for sure. But Harry's got to make that tackle.
You can't turn the ball over there.
Harry's got to make that tackle.
Third.
How many times have we seen him not make that last
tackle? It
starts
with a turnover.
It does, of course. But
Lindelof got smoked by Foden. That created the opportunity. Then Harry, obviously. Defenders on the deck. embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Maguire drags down Foden in the box. I mean, this shows kind of where Maguire is. This is the 45th minute. He's literally just like tackling player. He can't defend. I think the game just got too. The game has surpassed him. Like, however we're playing doesn't work. Back three can be bailed out. Like, you need Varane there. Maguire just one on one. He can't even make these simple challenges.
It's a confidence thing, man. It's in your head. Like, he's a good player. He will not. It's
not in a two.
Not here, dude. Not as the captain at Manchester United. Like, it's. Heavy, where's the crowd? You know, it's like, dude, it's too much for him, and he's just wilted under the pressure.
All right, so the first half, hey, there was an error, 2-1. All right, we've been in worse situations at the empty head. We're in it. It's a derby. We're going to get up for the game, and boy, did we just lay an egg. Not a shot on target in the second half. City come out toying with United. Dude, 61st minute, David De Gea, big save, keeping United in the game. 64th, double sub from Rangnick. He's decided to switch it up. Didn't go well. Rashford and Lingard for Pogba and Elanga. One player who's leaving on a free for another player who's leaving on a free tells you the state of this club. 69th minute. Ugh. Set piece. Mara's unmarked.
That drills it towards the back post. Coming in with a fabulous goal is Riyad Mahrez. That is tinged with genius from the Algerian. A pinpoint ball from Kevin De Bruyne. He's got two goals and an assist. But what a finish by Riyad Mahrez. And that could be all 3 points in this vital Manchester derby. City 3, United 1.
Beautiful goal. I think it's Rodri who just gets underneath.
The effort of defending from Harry Maguire here is just
the whole team, dude.
The whole team literally going through the motions on this corner. It's absolutely, and that's why we have to watch it. We have to replay this highlights. We thought about not doing it, honestly. Like, we thought about just like saying this game sucked, but you have to watch it. You have to watch Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Harry Maguire, watch the ball go over, go to Mahrez, and they don't close him down, and he literally scores the goal. It is, there are bigger problems with this team. That is what this is showing you.
This isn't
Manchester United.
It's brutal. You're right.
73rd minute. Dave saves again. Somebody hasn't told him to give up. My captain of Manchester United, he's won the title with this team. He knows what this is all about. How is he not the captain of Manchester United? What a performance from David De Gea. And again, I feel bad for him playing with these numpties in front of him. 82nd minute, another huge save from De Gea. Again, Cancelo tries a scissor kick. He was on form. He's been
so
great
good.
This season.
That team is so
Imagine
good.
Imagine where we would be if De Gea wasn't in like top form. And then obviously, we're going to go even, it's going to get a little more embarrassing. So we got a 90th minute goal from Mahrez. He's onside.
Player having made that clearance. Mahrez is through to make it four. And the flag goes up on the far side. It won't count. Offside, no, count. And De Gea stays on the
so
ground.
So it counts, but really the problem here
put me out
is
of misery, sir.
Gundogan just right through Fred and McTominay. McTominay not even trying here. And this is a team that's given up. It's from a goal kick, too. From a goal kick, Fred, you know, run around, can't do nothing. McTominay just lets him run by him and just cut open the defense, just like Burnley. You know, if you make the same mistake against Burnley, and you're going to get punished against Shitty.
And that was all she wrote, right, sir? Because
it's business.
At the end of the day, what am I collecting from this game? Is it like the only way we're going to get better is you got to sell about like, you have to sell 85% of this team. You could keep like De Gea. You could keep Sancho. You could keep DeLow as a backup. You could keep Telles as a backup. And I'd probably sell everybody else. You know, like, honestly, they need to, like...
They're not going to do
it. Of course they won't, because that would take effort. And, like they are not astute players in the global, like, footballing market. They're not
it's
able
Glazers
to,
out.
They're
That's
not able
it
to move
it's
players. Just, they're not able to buy players effectively. We're
just Glazers out.
Run,
That's
always.
It. Just,
look at those stats.
It's literally the whole... Every situation just gets to Glazers out. That's how you have to look at it. Like, you hurt Harry's feelings early in this pod. You really had to go. It feels good as a fan to do that. I'm sure fans enjoy that. But it's the Glazers out. That's it. That's the only reason why we're here. And look at the stat sheet. 24 shots to 5. Shitty to United. 10 shots on target to 2. Shitty to United. 70% of the ball for Shitty. 30% for United.
Passes.
740 passes for Man Shitty versus 326 for Manchester United. 92% pass accuracy. They seem to know what they are doing. It is unbelievable. That's it. All the good stats are for City, so we don't have anything else. Let's check in with our manager.
Here's the best question of the day. Ready?
Hey, Ralph, what do you think of that? hey, Ralph.
Hey, Ralph.
Ralph, what did you make of that?
Well, I think we played a good, at least decent, if not good, first half. We were competitive in the first half. Obviously difficult to concede an early goal. We shouldn't allow the cross to come in. We were 3-1 in that moment on our right backside. But yeah, we did. Then we came back, scored a brilliant goal ourselves. We had our moments in the first half on the counter-attack in transitional moments. Then conceded another too easy goal. And in the second half, from the very moment they scored the third one, it was difficult, very difficult game against the best team in the world in possession of the ball. If you keep chasing the balls, you concede probably a fourth, a fifth, or if not even a sixth goal. We conceded a fourth one in the last minute of the game, but in the end, it was a difficult day that showed that we still have some steps to go in order to close that gap.
Particularly in that first
some half. Steps to go, but you know what? Shout out to Ralph. He didn't want to be put in this position. You couldn't say no to this job as an interim manager, and he has called it like he sees it the whole way. He's called out Darren Fletcher, who had to scramble on the earnings call with investors to explain
players.
What he does. He's called out players. He is actually a shining light in the history of, you know, Mourinho is probably a little, does it troll City, so it like goes so bad. Ole papered over everything, and then you have Ralph just calling it straight down the middle, and I really do appreciate it, because as fans, it gives us a look at like, what's Martial doing? What's Lingard doing? Why don't he doesn't know what Fletcher does? Oh, by the way, the board hasn't even talked to him about signings or a manager.
And why is that?
He calls it straight, and like, I like that he says the truth, and I respect that in a man, and I respect that in a manager. It's just, he should be in the front office. And, you know, he's doing the best he can.
Sir, Mrs. Washington, I cannot tell a lie. I love Ralph Rangnick because he's the honesty and just like no bullshit that we need so desperately. And I know what's happening, sir, is They've been lying to us for 20 years. They told us they were going to invest in the team back in the day. They told us they were going to redo the stadium when they first got in. And you know what? They've probably been lying to Ralph the entire fucking time,
yes,
bro.
And they lied
like,
to Josie.
Come in, you'll have LBG. A big influence. Yeah. Like, shore up the club. You're going to be like, you know, we'll cut you through your contract for the club from Russia that we bought him out from. You'll have a huge influence. They probably lied and lied and lied, bro, because they're liars. And they're not good people because they've treated this club like dirt. And this club means so much to so many people. Ourselves included, you people included, that like a little respect. Like, where is it? Where is it? I don't even know. But, sir, a little respect for such a great fucking story club that they have just like torn to pieces. Torn to pieces.
And it, well, even like a little thing on social media. So, like, Aguero got like a present from Shitty that, you know, was this box that had like a medal for him and all the great things he did for the club. And then all I remember when I was watching that video of the special present that they gave one of their great legend players was when Rio Ferdinand said Ed Woodward didn't even dignify him by telling him he wouldn't re-up his deal. So he knew that he was playing his last game for United so he could say goodbye to the fans. He literally went into locker room after his last game and said, we're not re-upping you. Thanks. And that's it. And that shows you the culture that is created by Ed Woodward and how he ran this club. He disrespected legends of the game. And that comes to hurt you because that culture that Arnold grew up in, that Arnold was trained in, is what we're going to get more of. And this is why we have no culture in our dressing room.
And an important point, it is the antithesis of what this club is about.
Exactly.
It is the fucking opposite of what this club has been built on, rebuilt on for over 100 years. And that's why it's like the most upsetting as a fan, because they've just like lied. They've spit on the club. They've treated it like shit. And players like
that's
Rio
not what
Ferdinand,
United is about.
Bro. Players like Rio Ferdinand, like the kind of signings you're supposed to make. Big money, break the record on a fucking talented like player
delivered.
Like Wayne Rooney. And he delivered. And he was treated like dirt by Ed Woodward because the Glazers are bad people, bro. And Ed Woodward's a bad person because bad people lie all the time, don't stand behind their actions, don't stand up and ask questions, do they're cowards. There's a reason they haven't taken a fucking question. They don't have a fan for them. They're bad people, and we got to push them out of this club because this club is great.
And hashtag Glazers out. Now we're going to get into another Manchester United legend who I love. Sir, Roy Keane. He's working the derby. It's going to be spicy. We got to listen to what he has to say.
Roy, how would you sum up that second half?
I think the worst thing you could say about United, I think Gary mentioned it, they did give up. I think for a player in a derby, in any game, to give up, it's unforgivable, really. I think the second half, we saw it, the beauty with top level sport, there's no hiding place. You know, there's no hiding place. I know United have done well here the last couple of years. We saw all the United shortcomings today. We saw, obviously, Man City being very good the second half. There's ways to lose football matches. We've all lost football matches, but the way United lost it today, they stopped running, they gave up. There was players out there putting performances. The players not running back. That's what I don't understand. And the manager will be criticising the tactics, but players not running back while you're playing for Man United, it's really unacceptable. It really is. And I think they threw the towel in, which is shameful.
You think it was more about commitment and character than it was about quality, which is a very different
thing.
Well,
a bit of everything, yeah. It's hard when you're out there and you're up against a really good team and they're obviously keeping the ball and you can't get it back. But I go back to it, but we'll see some of the goals, but you got to run back, you got to tackle. United players have shown quality over the years, but we've just seen a reflection where the team is and where the club is. It's just so far behind the other teams, but some of the players... There's ways to lose football matches, but the way we saw Man United today, whatever you say when you play them, you still play with your own bit of pride. Whatever's going on in the dressing room, and we hear noises all the time, or we hear about problems, obviously, with the new manager maybe coming in.
All right, we got an ad, and we're going to get back to Roy Keane here. And it's like, this is how it is in YouTube, trying to find the quotes here, but this is great for Roy Keane.
But your own bit of pride eventually has to kick in at some stage. And there was players there, and we're watching it live. And I'm looking at them, and I'm getting really frustrated watching it because I forgive mistakes, but you got to run back. There was players I'm after right now, five or six players. I think you should never play for Man United again. Just shameful, shameful that you can't run back, you can't put your body on the line, and forgive the lack of quality against Man City in the second half, because Man City are excellent. They've been excellent for the last 3, 4, 5 years. Fantastic team. That's why they're the champions. But Man United, a derby match today... the subs coming on, you're hoping they'll have an impact. They're not prepared to run around. A couple of lads in midfield. Wan-Bissaka, Fred, Maguire, Rashford came on. I could go on. Give up four goals. And City weren't even at their very best. City didn't have to be at their best. I thought City had another couple of years to go. I think they just toyed with them, a bit like the game at Old Trafford. Just, yeah, the old sayings of men v boys. They gave up, and shame on them.
Shame on them. Shame on them, sir.
Respect. Respect. Respect, man. Respect. Respect.
So this is what we're talking about. I had an epiphany, too, because I think it was Friday. I was watching the young lads, bro, the under-18s, play Dortmund in the UEFA Youth Cup, and it was a fucking great game. It was like end-to-end, and the team showed so much heart and so much passion. And what we were talking about, and I kind of didn't really get to make my ultimate point, which was, dude, this club's history and reputation was always one where, like, the players had respect, the academy, like, they were known as good lads. Like, if you got a Man United Academy player, they were known as hardworking, good lads. They were put in a shift, and that is what Roy Keane is talking about. Like, you never walk. You never jog. You might lose, but you fucking give it all. And that youth team, bro, they still get it. Hannibal Medjugorje, he still gets it. So I would literally sell all these players, bro. Bruno, Ronaldo, get rid of everyone, basically, except for the five I mentioned, and bring in Gardner, bring in, dude, bring in Hannibal, bring in Shortire. Dude, they're ready because they at least want to fight for something. These guys have no fight left.
No, it's a, they have nothing, I've never,
dude,
seen.
We have to get rid of all of them.
I've never seen the lack of effort that, but you have to think about it, right? Excuse Factory, you have Ole, and then you have an interim, and things aren't going well, and the fractures in the locker room. That's how you get this horrible performance. People just want the season to be over. It's almost like the analogy would be with the New York Giants. People bringing the golf clubs into the locker room before the season's over because they're just like gonna go. They're like, "Hey, we're good. You know, like we're focused on the golf court." And that's kind of what
they're incentivized in the NFL. To be fair,
you know, I know, but United are kind of like that. Their heads on the golf course, are their heads in the off season. You know, that's kind of where their heads are right now. Look at the table, shitty. Like I said, the only benefit is the Scousebastards, 6 points off it, one game in hand. Obviously, Chelsea, 53 points. Arsenal, 48 points. But they have 3 games in hand on us, and they got 1 point above it. Arsenal to the task. Beat Watford today, 3-2. And United looking like it's over here. 28 games played, 47 points. And then West Ham behind us with 45. Look, I think top four is dusted. My expectation is Hans and Franz Cup, Thursday Night Football is back next season on the pod. We will go there.
Yeah, we're going.
We're
baby.
Going there. I don't care where we need to follow this team. United till I die. United till I die, sir.
To the edge of
I
hell.
I love this club.
To the edge of the earth.
But everyone should start thinking that it is over short of Arsenal, just absolutely bottling it. But Arsenal playing good right now. They dished Aubameyang. They backed their manager. Big move. Young talent coming in,
spent
and
money,
it's paying off, and they're playing well at the right time. United, old, overpaid, big wages, interim manager, Paul Pogba leaving on a free, Lingard leaving on a free. Those players aren't giving us that push, and that's the difference between these two clubs. One on the rise, one on the continuous decline, unfortunately. I hope they bottle it, but...
Yeah, I actually want us to miss top four now. Because
how dare you,
sir? Because I think it might help us get sold. I actually think like that might be the what needs to break their backs and force the issue.
Break them.
That's the only reason. I love this, dude. I always root for this club. You talked about it today, or in relation to the league run, right? Having Liverpool, we obviously don't want them to win 20, but I always want us to win. And even now, it's like this season's been exhausting. Because it's like we tried hope. I got no hope.
I got hope for the Champions League.
I got hope for the Glazers selling this club. That's it.
I think that is where we need to be. If we're really honest with ourselves and you're looking at what they pushed out in this earnings call this week, that's where we really need to focus. But hey, there's always the next match. It starts. We go again. Manchester United versus Tottenham Hotspur, Old Trafford. The lads, it's Tottenham. Now, if Conte and Tottenham can steamroll us at home, sir, that's a nail. This is it. This is the top four. This is it. Yeah, this is 100%.
We win like a match, like a proper win. Also, we don't have to play Spurs. The Liverpool match got pushed a month because They moved on, I think, in the FA Cup. So that match got postponed. We're not playing them this month. If we win this, it's on like Donkey Kong. If we lose, which we could, this shit's over.
It's true.
This shit's over anyway, but this is the game.
But imagine being nervous about playing Tottenham. Games won 94, drawn 49, lost 53. We own them.
Small club.
First time we ever played them, Tottenham versus Newton Heath. We drew in the FA Cup 1-1. Last five, we've won. Last six, we've won four, drawn one, lost one. That one we lost 6-1. If you recall, that red card for Martial, Lamela going down like a little, you know what? It's Tottenham. They're all over the board, really. lost to Southampton, lost to Wolves.
We should win.
Beat shitty. Then they lost to Burnley. They beat Tottenham 4-0. Middlesbrough beat them in the FA Cup. It seems to me we are Tottenham. If you look at that result, the results, the only thing being is they were able to beat shitty and show up for a big game. We're the opposite. They're on a horrible run. We're sort of in the middle of that. It's going to be a very interesting fixture. And like you said, top four implications.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mention the game is on Saturday. It's at 9:30 Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. Very leisurely time, sir.
A little history on Tottenham, founded in 1882. Their symbol is a cockerel standing on top of a football. And their motto is, to dare is to do. It's a pretty lame motto.
Talk about going to a Spurs game. Because I think this is important. They've been portrayed by NBC Sports as like a big club, a relevant club. And when you read their Wikipedia, bro, you could tell they have a chip on their shoulder. It was like written to seem like they're like a really big deal. And then you go
meet
the fans. They make Arsenal fans look tough as nails. They're the softest fans. They make Fulham fans look tough as nails. They're the softest fans. They make Watford fans look tough as nails.
Well, everyone's soft compared to Manchester United fans. And if you haven't been, I've been to Arsenal. I've, you know, had some beers with Arsenal fans before the game. QPR.
Fulham.
I've been all around the board. Millwall. And by far, the softest, just exactly what you would think fans. It's Tottenham.
It's sad. They're, it's sad.
The lads is Tottenham.
It's so bad.
And that's it's Harry Kane. Harry Kane.
He's coming, by the way. We're signing Harry Kane.
Harry Kane claps the fans goodbye and stays. That's Harry Kane.
He's such a doofus.
Exactly.
He's going to be Manchester United player because he makes so much sense with the Glazers. Like, of course they're going to get Harry Kane.
Well, we're becoming more Spurs every year.
That's right.
The club has traditionally worn white shirts and navy blue shirts. The kit look isn't bad. No. They got Nike. You know, they don't do a horrible job a la Adidas. After its inception, Tottenham won the FA Cup for the first time in 1901, the only non-league club to do so since the formation of the Football League in 1888. Tottenham were the first club in the 20th century to achieve the league and FA Cup double, winning both competitions in 60-61. In domestic football, Spurs have won 2 league titles, 8 FA Cups, 4 leagues, and 7 community shields. Not great, not horrible, obviously. They hate Arsenal, North London Derby. That is an awesome game to watch. Conte, we were linked with him. He plays a 3-4-2-1. Obviously, you know, Lloris, they got Dyer. We were linked to him. Winks, Højbjerg is a good player. Talking about hardworking in the middle of the park. That is going to be really important. Son and Kane, they're a dynamic duo. So they do have ways they can hurt us. And if we're going to defend like we did against Shitty, I don't know if there's hope for Manchester United. Look at the injuries. Cavani, he has a groin injury. Obviously, he was in training. I heard he had 30 minutes. Then he's not with the team. That is interesting what's going on with Cavani. I don't know if there's something else. Very strange the manager come out on Friday, say that he could do 30 minutes, and then he's not there. Same with Cristiano Ronaldo. Friday, nothing. He doesn't show up at the hospital. And oh, by the way, he's got a hip issue. This is kind of where I'm. There's smoke, there's fire. I don't know why these players don't want to play or what's going on with them, but Rangnick could be rubbing the wrong way. Shaw, Varon, COVID, and then that is it. Given those the injuries, what is your lineup?
I just want to, real quick, I just love to really bury Spurs, especially because I'm just so hurt as a United fan. I want to mention all the clubs.
Whatever makes you feel better.
I want to mention all the teams that have more titles than Spurs. Villa has more titles. Sunderland has more titles. Newcastle has more titles. Sheffield Wednesday has more titles. Wolves, Leeds, Huddersfield Town. Sorry, I could keep going, bro. Blackburn Rovers, and then they're tied with Preston North End. They're a fly. So anyway, they're big in the US. De Gea in net.
History's all we got. Keep it going.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
That's all we got.
That's it. It's been shit for 20 years.
The history and the fact that Nike used to make good kits for us about like 15 years ago.
Dude, we have the best history. We have the best fan. This club is amazing. This club is going nowhere, but we just have the worst owners. De Gea, Delow, Jones, Lindelof, Shaw. I'm going to do Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Sancho, Alanga, Ronaldo. If Ronaldo's available or like, who knows where these players are. Who you got?
I mean, I got to go. I got to say Dave Saves, Delow. I'm going to say Maguire, Lindelof, and I'm going to say Telles. Shaw's not going to make it back. We're going to get Fred Matic midfield with Bruno, Sancho, CR7, and I'll put Alonga on the right. I'm going to switch it up. Rashford. I'm going to go with Rashford. Need new blood in the attack. I do like Alonga, but CR7's got to be coming back in. Booking the bookies. Sir, give us the odds.
You got United as the favorites, -110. You got the draw, +270. You got Spurs as the underdog, +290. Given the odds, what do you got for your score result, sir?
I got to go 1-1 because it's draw.
Oh, that was going to be mine. I'm going to go 2-2. Draw all day.
Cowards.
I know.
Cowards.
Well, we've seen too much.
It's been a long year. That's all I got to say about that. Let's go to the news.
It's been a long year. When's this year ending?
United in the news. Bringing you the latest Manchester United news. Does it get better in the news, sir?
The news is always so painful these days.
Manchester Derby, Cristiano Ronaldo ruled out for hip injury. Roy Keane says it doesn't add up, and boy, it does not add up. I saw the hotel list.
Yep.
Ronaldo not on it. That told me that Ranieri told him he ain't playing, and Ronaldo said, you know what? I ain't going. That's what my gut told me. Obviously, I don't have any evidence, but CR7 is the type of player that if you're going to bring him here, and he's healthy, you play him in this game. I understand why you want to play fast on the counter. I understand that he might not be that player. He is Ronaldo. We brought him back. He is on the big money. And like this goes to the director of football, where you bring a player like that in, you bring him in to play in these big games. And I have a feeling Rangnick told me he wasn't playing and he didn't take it well.
I think you're right. And what does it speak to? This speaks to the fact that the patients are running the asylum. Like, the players are running the club, He's just like, fuck it, I'm good. I'm going to, like, I'm going to chill and not go. And probably do some, like, leg lifts. And it's, dude, I don't think Ralph would have picked to bring Ronaldo back into this team. I know we were all excited. We're Muppets. But at the end of the day, like...
No, this is the right call to probably drop him.
Yeah, because he's trying to he probably wanted to bring him off the bench. And he's like, I'm good.
But the problem with having an interim and having someone like Rangnick... is that, and also Rangnick seems to me like he's emotionally detached. So he doesn't look at Ronaldo and think of all these things.
Yeah.
He just is like, hey man, I'm going to play this way. Sorry. And Ronaldo, like, you know,
trying to win.
He's like a planet. So, like I said, he's a planet. He's literally like, if I'm not playing, I'm not going. And,
yes.
And you could argue that's just a bad teammate, but then we knew that and we brought him back anyway. So again, just not a great situation here. I bet you this will all play out. And, you know, this happens in football. Traditionally where Ronaldo won't say anything, Ralph won't say anything, and everything will be fine. But this was a little strange, and also the Cavani one too, because usually, you know,
I just thought it was something funny, and we gotta get this news is painful, but I was like, the last time we gazumped City for a player that it turned out well was RVP. And ever since then, every time we've done it, it's gone so badly.
Yeah, but we won that title. We won 20.
No, that was the last time. No, I know. So that was great. I'm saying, but every subsequent one, we've tried to do that. Fred, Harry Maguire, Alexis Sanchez. I think there's another one. Sir, that's all I'm saying. I just thought it was.
The real smoke for this is Ronaldo's sister says he is not injured. He's not ill. He's 100%. That's what she said on Instagram. So that's kind of the rumor mill a little bit.
No, but what was the actual? She went farther. She called out Rangnick.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you who, like me, are sad and angry because Rangnick decided to ruin our Sunday by taking CR7 out of the classic against Manchester City simply for tactical reasons.
Simply for trying to win the game.
And that sounds to me more of what it is. I just say to Rangnick, why would you die on this hill? We still got the Champions League. And oh, by the way, you know, we're playing Harry Maguire and Lindelof. Arguably, that's the worst thing. That's, you know, I say, if you put Ronaldo in attack, you know, it's not going to be great, but like, our defense is in shambles, so like the odds that we're going to outscore shitty are low. No, so I just thought, is, like, why die on this hill? It's Ronaldo. You play him in the derby.
Because he doesn't know what hills he doesn't even know the landmines, bro. He's just trying to win games and help us finish the top four.
So you piss off Ronaldo and we lose 4-1. So it's like, sweet. Yeah, now but that's where we're at. Yeah, I know. But
like, you say like, hey, I want to put you off the bench and have you come on in the 60th minute. And he's like, fuck you. I mean, that's hard to control.
That's who he is, though.
I get that. I get that. But that's also being allowed to. He's got that tattooed on his because forehead. The club is now in just shambles, bro. No, Pogba decides when he plays. Cavani decides when he plays. It's like,
sir, if you and me know that he's got an ego the size of a planet and that he can't be taken off in a game, otherwise he behaves worse than my 2-year-old son, you and me can see it, have seen it, then the manager should know that you're just like kind of screwed and you got to play him because you have a chance of winning the Champions League and he's your best player to do so. I hate to say it, but that's where we're at United. Rashford ain't going to do it. You know, CR7. I'd bank on him to play in the Champions League.
He hasn't played that well. Pissed off. He also hasn't played that well. If you remember,
he's the reason why we're in the Champions League.
I agree, but he didn't play that great in February. So.
I concur.
Just saying. I'm not too factory.
You and me know.
We just call it like we see it.
I'm pro Ronaldo camp over here. I'm like Ronaldo's sister. I want to see him in the derby.
Sir, you love Ronaldo. I get it.
You don't bring him back not to play in the derby.
I agree. Sir, next story.
Come on.
Next story.
Ralph Rangnick says that Erik ten Hag is a top coach, but denies the board have spoken about appointing him in the summer at Manchester United. He hasn't spoken to the board about Erik ten Hag. Rangnick is a consultant supposed to be consulting on transfers. Obviously, we didn't sign anyone in January. The excuse from United was we're waiting to appoint a manager. And oh, by the way, they haven't even talked to Rangnick about Erik ten Hag. A lot of smoke
or
in the Twitter's verse.
Or signings. He admitted that. He's like, they haven't asked me anything about signings. They haven't asked me anything about players. The man cannot tell a lie.
It's a front. It's a front. The whole the club is a front. Everyone knows it. They're not even talking to Rangnick about who they should sign. By the way, he probably has a good list. They're not talking to him about who should they should appoint. He should appoint as a manager. He probably has a good idea. Then why bring him in and why give him this consultancy role?
Because they're idiots. Because they're idiots, bro. They literally they cannot learn from the last mistake they made. It's almost it's incredible how they just keep doing the same thing and just keep stepping on the rake and hitting themselves in the face like Sideshow Bob in that Simpsons episode, like dung dung, and they just do it over and over again, and it's actually insane.
Okay, so then there's been a lot of manager smoke this week. Pochettino, rumors that he can't leave PSG or they won't let him go. And then rumors that he wants to go back to Tottenham, not United. And then there was rumors that United are starting to talk to Erik ten Hag. This shows, you know, if you see all the smoke out there, right? This is coming from Laurie Whitwell at The Athletic. There's lists, there's names. We heard Ancelotti. Now Hansen Hoodle, this is just showing you how little of a plan Manchester United has. They literally have no idea what they're going to do. If you're going to get Pochettino, that deal should be being discussed with PSG. You should be doing that deal, paying them for his services, like probably now.
So he doesn't go to Real Madrid or whatever.
There's also that possibility. Ancelotti getting bounced from Real Madrid, Pochettino going to Madrid. So if why would, and this supports the case, pay PSG $30 million to get Poch if you really want him.
Do you think he's going to say no to Real Madrid over
but I'm saying like if you're, so everyone's like right now, obviously the board is number one issue at Manchester United, but everyone's kind of saying, hey, we're dying for a manager, right? That's kind of been the narrative a little bit, is we need a new manager. That's what's going to sort us out. So if this is such a big decision, why wouldn't you just go to PSG and pay him $30 million and get Poch middle of the season and then make him your permanent manager?
Because how do they do?
Because that's a move. Move that you got to make bold moves when you're dying in a certain category and they're not doing it. They're going to let everyone else play out. They're going to let all this stuff play out and they're gonna bottle this too.
How do they make decisions? How do we know these people?
They're reactionary.
No, they do what's the cheapest option. Cheap, easy, safe, reactionary, like you said, reactionary option. They're looking for the cheapest deal right now. It's like, yes, who wants to come?
That's what I'm saying.
And which club do I have to pay the least? And apparently the rumor is PSG wants some cash. And Ajax or Letty are going to are willing to let him go pretty cheap because of his contract. So that would be like, it's literally going to be, who's the cheapest guy we can get?
Yes, and that's how we...
Who's the cheapest guy we can get? John Murtaugh is cheap, bro.
Hansen Hoodle is the cheapest. The guy who wears gloves on the touchline. He's a madman.
I don't think he's a good coach, though.
If you wanted to really go,
he complains about everything. He's such a whiny German.
If you really wanted to go, I've seen this movie before. You get hands in the hole because he's a cheap. Pochettino so goes cheap. To Madrid.
So why don't you just
Ten Hag goes to PSG.
Why don't we get Dyche?
And then Hansen Hoodle
Burnley gets dropped. Burnley gets dropped. I'll take Sean Dyche.
I take Sean Dyche.
You clear
this all
squad
day.
Out, bro. He's a good manager.
I take him all day.
They're organized always.
Trust me.
Like he would be smarter than. Who knows? Bro, we're screwed.
This manager, but like this club needs to do a little better.
You think?
Like Richard Arnold, we're doing all this exhaustive search. It's like, come on, man. It's like they have no idea what to do. You can see it. Ten Hag is obviously the choice.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get Ten Hag. Yeah. And that's clear as day. Obviously, you have the internal chatter around Poch and Sir Alex and Poch and all this stuff. But, you know, you can't try to fail to get Poch to then blow Ten Hag. You got to get the best available that you can get over the line. And if PSG doesn't want to play ball, then you got to get Ten Hag ASAP. They can't drag their feet here. Next bit of news, Rangnick. Advising the board, you cannot make any more transfer market mistakes. Rangnick is in no doubt that his club transfer record leaves much to be desired. That Manchester United's club transfer record leaves much to be desired in comparison to the City of Liverpool. I mean, that's without a debate.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a non-story. We've talked enough about how shit this club has run. That was just another thing about it.
And then the big announcement was the new Champions League format in 2024-25. Increasing 32 to 36 teams. The group stages are replaced by one big league table. Each team plays 10 games in the first phase, 5 home, 5 away, which basically adds
5 games, right?
It adds 4 games. So right now you play in a group of 4. You play one home away against each team. That's 6. Then you're going to play 10. That's 4. Obviously, they're just trying to drag it out, get more big fixtures,
more money.
Top 8 sides in the league will automatically qualify for the knockout, and then the 9th through 24th place will do a two-legged playoff to secure the path at least. That's where you lose me.
It doesn't even be two-legged. It should be one-legged.
No,
right?
the table should be who moves on. The eight teams should move on. And everyone else should be bounced.
Right.
This whole idea that you're like, okay, fine. You want to add...
No, they're just doing more games, bro.
That's what I'm saying. It's you want to add those 4 games...
It's a money grab, bro.
...in the group, whatever. I'm fine with that. But then don't play like a losing bracket tournament to get back in the... It is getting... Like, I don't like it.
No, they're exploiting the players. It's bad for the game. The players have been like redlined for way too long, and they just make these decisions and they don't think about the players at all. This is bad for the game. It's a money grab, bro.
It's bad.
It's a money grab, and that's all we should say about it. Is just like, it's shame on them.
But this is where the Super League comes from.
Yeah, just cash.
But honestly, you have to look at it where in the press, right, we're like Super League, this and that and that. And yes, Super League is horrible, but the reason why the teams tried to break away to create their own Super League was to fight UEFA doing this money grab and having increasing the obligations and increasing the pool. And they're not paying the big names that arguably drive more viewership, right? Manchester United versus PSG does more money than, you know, Dynamo Zagreb versus, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, there is validity to the argument a little bit. And so this is the clash that you're seeing between the clubs and UEFA. And UEFA is not innocent either, because I don't like this very much.
Bro, these were the moves that like apparently precipitated the Super League push in the first place. If that's what you're saying, like they were going to do this and then they delayed this for a year. It's basically been a year since the Super League fiasco. And now they're like, all right, now we're rolling this out. And it's the same thing. It's like doing a World Cup every 2 years, bro. It's like a shameless cash grab and shame on UEFA.
You need more, like everyone likes the knockout stages. We don't need more like getting to the knockout stages.
You don't need more games for the sake of games. It's stupid.
They're going to push the envelope. They're going to find out what they can do because, like you said, money's the incentive. And UEFA isn't innocent in this either. They did look like it with the Super League, but here's their move. And as a fan, things change. Things always change. But what's the next, 64? I mean, what is it, March Madness? This is kind of where we're headed with the Champions League a little bit here.
March Madness would be fewer games. That'd actually be cool.
No, but you know what I mean. Like 64 teams.
They're going to keep doing it until the players say stop. And like, I don't know. Unionize and be like, no, we're not doing that. I don't know. But it's like, it's eventually they're going to keep pushing.
Because money
never stops, bro. They're eventually going to be like, you're playing a game every other day. They're playing like 100 games a year. Like, they're going to keep pushing, dude.
But I don't mind, like, the United doesn't play the same team home and away. I do like that they're – I don't mind adding, like, an extra game or two and then mixing the opponents up more. Like, that is actually sounds to me interesting. But then adding the whole, like, 9 through 24 replay, like, a fixture to then get back into
do
the –
Do top 16 and then do a bracket.
Exactly.
That would be cool.
And seed it based on
– they're ruining it, bro. Yes. Just, like, more games, more games.
More games. Yes. All right, fan questions. Let's see how the fans are doing here. At Jamal Mota. Sorry, you're shaking your head.
I just know how they feel.
Sir, shambolic, I believe, it is an appropriate term for United. We are years away from being able to play with that City team. Without Dave, it was probably 6-1. No clue where we go from here other than Glazers' outlook. That's why we have the best fans in the world. They already know.
Nailed it. Jamal, nailed it. Home run. That's it. I don't have to say anything.
At T. Zolski, I got nothing more to say. This team is a joke. We're miles apart from competing for anything significant. The Glazers out have set this club up so far behind. It is sad. Look at our fans.
Sir, preach. Keep hitting them. Hit them again.
At JDW300, need a full overhaul in this summer. Won't happen, but that's what's needed. Need Varane for 50-plus games per season. So fragile in the back. It's not only Varane. We put big money into Varane, put big money into Cavani, put big money into Ronaldo, big money into old players who have bad injury records. Varane's injury record, I mentioned it when we signed him, great player, horrible injury record. Obviously, and COVID is not an injury, but that is how our season's gone. He plays with us, plays for us. We look better. But you need young, upcoming talent who can play and are durable. At BryGuy666, our team is the softest bunch around. What a train wreck of a match.
Our fans are the best. This is more fun than us even respond. He's just like hot fire. They're so good.
At Ty Kircher, we are toothless, spineless, heartless, gutless, dickless cowards. This game was lost before it started, and the L cemented when they scored. This team will win shit. It is so damn frustrating to watch the shit team draw relegation teams and lose to quality. We suck. Fans not pulling any punches today.
Ulrich. Get Ulrichs.
At you, Boson, the rot runs deep. These 16 years of mismanagement could be a business case for years to come and will be.
They will, dude. They will. We'll write it.
We're going to write it here at the American Red.
Honestly, one day we're going to write it because it's going to be a fucking doozy.
He's got the title, Ruining a Global Brand and Powerhouse 101.
10 easy steps. How do you ruin a club in 10 easy steps?
At Rolling in the Deep, 1995, did well in the attack, absolutely fucked it up in defense. The moment we had to look solid, we made calamitous defensive errors. Embarrassing team, embarrassing result.
Than, punt it with Than. You see Than's? Oh. Let's
go. Thanicus Maximus, I'm tired of dog shit football. The history of this club demands that these players perform better than what we are seeing. We need to find some players who have their heart to play for the badge instead of the paycheck. And that's what we have right now. I mean, that's where we're at. And at Olson Dillon, we'll close this one. Sirs, that was horrific. I know I'm not like most fans in the sense, but I hate shitty for some reasons. Tough to swallow. We talk about financial fair play and oil money, et cetera. But when it comes down to it, why, we are whinging. We should be able to compete with them. But why don't we? Why? Hashtag Glazers out. That's what this is all about.
That's it.
Fans around the world, social media exists for a reason. Power to the people. We have to make it known to the Glazers. No more kits. Sponsorship boycotts. We need demonstrations in the United States, in Florida, in the UK. We need green and gold all throughout that stadium. We need people making green and gold shirts, wearing the green and gold shirts to the games. We need to be protesting this ownership. We got to be loud, and we got to have demands. This is the part of it. Must. I used to be big in a must in 2010 when they were boycotting the Glazers. Somehow that movement broke down, and then they actually bought on Joel Glazer's letter saying that he was going to talk to them, and they bought that they're going to redo the stadium. The fans got to stop believing these lies. They've lied to us for, like you said,
20 years,
almost two decades, and it's just, you have to hold them to account. I need a plan for the new stadium. I need the plan. I need the financing. I need the rebuild plan.
Need them out,
I need the manager.
Get them out.
Yeah, but we have to demand that, and they're not going to give it to us because they're cowards, and they refuse to just say, hey, guys, we're taking all the money, like, F you. Like, they're not going to say that. They're just going to continually lie, and we have to be smarter to it. Us fans can't be taking these quick-fix solutions from the Glazers. Like, they say they're going to get a new stadium. I haven't heard nothing about that. And by the way, we're calling these lies out in real time. We said they ain't going to show up to the fan forum.
Did it.
Joel ducked it. We also said, new stadium ain't coming. They don't have the money for it.
It ain't.
And so,
signings ain't coming. There ain't no plan.
This summer, if we miss out on Champions League football. This summer is going to be... This is what I think as a fan is important to understand. The dynamics of what will happen in the summer. We're going to spend like 60 mil. We're going to lose Pogba. We're going to lose all these players. They're going to do nothing. They'll barely sort the midfield out. And it's going to be a horrible summer because look at the books. They just released the financials. They got nothing. And then that's when fans are going to be back lasers out. It is the summer transfer windows that are the catalyst to get the fans active in protest. But I can tell you right now, looking at the financials they just released, it is going, if we do not make Champions League football, it is going to be a rough look in the summer. And they are going to look horrible. And I think fans are going to be back in full voice. So get green and gold scarves. Get ready. Let's turn up the heat on the Glazers. That's what it's all about right now.
And it's true, because every other time we've missed Champions League since Fergie retired, they have had to spend big to get back into Champions League. Now they don't have the money to do it.
Exactly.
They have literally redlined this club. We are, like I said in the Patreon pod, a car that's been broken out on the side of the road and stripped for parts, wheels torn off, engine chopped up to bits, chairs taken out, so there's nothing left. And honestly, it's probably a blessing if we miss Champions League, just so they miss the 100 million, and maybe we'll finally get rid of them, sir. Put a knife in this pod.
Well, kick sir, I got to, like, the last mention for the Glazers. It came out. I mean, I'm going to cover it in more detail, but the top line results, I haven't been able to get into the actual report, the 6K. Total debt up 8% to 582 million. We only have 87 million in cash. We haven't gone above like 90 million in cash in like 2 years since COVID. And our operating profit is down 90%. We paid out 10 million to fired coaches and our wage bill rose significantly to keep these old decaying players. The payables owed by the club, which means old transfers, are high. I think it's like 300 million is due over the next year.
Oh, dividend.
We don't
too.
Have a lot of cash. They're paying the dividend. Our operating profit is at record lows since COVID. And this club is like bouncing off the bottom. The stock price, people want to debate me about the finances on Twitter, which I find funny. I worked in investment banking for a decade. I did this for public companies. I raised $10 billion in debt and equity. I've done all this up and down. I know what financials are. Sir, you're a VP of finance.
We both worked in investment banking together. Yeah, the other reason we're close. I interned at his firm.
These financials came out, stock's down 5% next day. Like, that is what we're talking about. $12 for Manchester United. They're just stealing money from this club, and it is
into
a
the
carcass.
Grounds. Into the ground.
That is all you need to know about this club is they've 600 million in secondary offerings, like I said, interest, everything.
Dude, the market don't
financials,
lie, bro.
Financials are bad. And that's the problem is like Simon Stone and these big journalists need to be covering these financials more and be like,
bro,
how can you spend
if
you don't have the money? How are you going to get a new stadium if you don't have the money? These are really important questions. And us fans got to band together, work together, and demand these journalists start putting pressure on this team because we're at the, this Sir, is a huge inflection point for United this summer. If we don't make Champions League, Ronaldo, Pogba, big names out the door and probably talking smack. Big names saying bad things. Probably Rangnick
saying bad things too.
And
Rangnick
it's going to be a bad, this could be a real interesting sort of fan moment this summer with the big names leaving and United just in, this could be the bottom that we've talked about for a long time.
We can hope, sir. The only hope we got is to get him out. That's it.
But all we got to do is beat Spurs.
So the hope will be, hope be the end of you. Kick it up. Close them out.
Hey, it's been one of those days you get smacked in the face like this and you got to reevaluate. We're reevaluating as fans. And look, appreciate everyone who listens. You're the real MVPs. This team will go nowhere. We're going to fight the Glazers, fight the ownership, sir. That's what it's all about. For fans, by fans, America Red Devils motto. Support the podcast. Check us out on Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, www.americaredevils.com. Write a review on iTunes. So would you pull up the top downloads last 7 days here for the podcast?
I will. Give me 1 second. It's hard on that.
You know you're a real MVP listening to this one. This is hashtag pod therapy, but I also feel good about where we're headed with thinking about the Glazers and holding them to account.
Top right. You got it? There you go. A little farther down.
All right. Top countries, USA.
A little farther.
Oh, we got it. Top 10 downloads,
number one. How you doing? We got a tough one on this list. Sanford, Florida. Omskork, United Kingdom. Sounds good. I like that. Appreciate you. Columbus, Ohio. Fresno, California. Linden, New Jersey. Appreciate you. Changwon, South Korea. Punta Vedra Beach, Florida. Maghull, United Kingdom. Ashburn, Virginia. And last but not least, Austin, Texas. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. Remember, it's Glazers out. This club It's got a beating heart, and it's the fans that sing like they sing. One of our favorite songs, sir. This is the unofficial anthem of the American Red Devils. It is on the flag behind us, kicking a blue since 1776, because we're also the American Red Devils. Sir, close us out, baby.
Let's go.